you're anything like me, you probably don't make a habit of going along to doctors. For the most part, I find myself reasonably fit and healthy. And so seeing the doctor is a regular part of my life. But last time I had a needle sort of stuck in my arm, I was there to donate blood rather than to receive it. It's not that I don't think doctors are useful or valuable people, because most of the time, I don't think I need to spend much time with them. And that's why I leave them for other people to go visit. Now, I think it was last year sometime, because I've hit that certain age, and I guess it comes to all of us. I got a call from the doctors, and they invited me to come in for a chat and some screening. You know, it's a bit like an MOT for people. They kind of checked it all over. I got to my blood pressure taken, they looked at my cholesterol and weight. This is just to make sure there was nothing going on, but the wheel was about to fall off my hand. Please to know everything was okay, nothing to worry about. But, I'm glad the way they called me in. At least I know I've been checked over now. And at that point, at least a year ago, there was nothing obvious that needed any further investigation. Well, you know, I've actually cases of points done on the road.
Sold out themselves to their own paymasters and were always
use your hand. Someone said, I'm not even sure that Matthew's wife thought that very much of it. But anyway, that's for another day. As we look at Matthew, what do we think? Well, we look at him and we think, well, there's no hope for him. Is there? Great cause for concern. Yes, that's another reason why this encounter is so helpful to us. But this morning, because it undoes so many of the untrue things that people tend to believe about God and the way his kingdom works. The reason that we think Matthew is out on his ear is because people think, don't they, that you need to be a good person in order to be friends with God. Being good, that gets equated to church going, rule keeping, being holier than thou attitude. But what Jesus is going to show us today is it doesn't work like that at all. Jesus wants to call people who fall short of what's expected. And no, they're not perfect. Indeed, they know they're not good enough for God. Jesus didn't come to call self-righteous. He came to call sinners. Well, let's see what happens when Jesus gets to meet Matthew for the first time. First little heading, two headings on the back of the family news if you're following along. Jesus brings hope instead of hatred. That's verse 9 that we're going to look at. And we've already said that Matthew was a blatant sinner. And so the question was, what would Jesus say to someone like that when he met him? Well, here's verse 9. Here's what he did say. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew fell. Jesus has just made a very odd selection on his team sheet. What did Jesus possibly want with a bloke like Matthew? Doesn't Jesus know who he is? Has he dropped the ball here? Has he made some huge mistake? Oh, by the word, Matthew has indeed been picked for Team Jesus. He's been brought alive. Matthew has done his bit, he's got up. And he's called him. And so we've got to ask ourselves, what on earth is going on here? Well, we thought, well, God wanted good people for his team, not notorious sinners. Look how Jesus explains towards the end in verse 12. And hearing this, Jesus said, it's not then often you need a doctor, but sick. Jesus has called Matthew because Matthew has a big and bold and obvious problem. Everyone can see that he's sick with sin. So here is Dr. Jesus not only diagnosing the problem, but offering a generous cure. Be forgiven, says Jesus, and come and follow me. And Jesus isn't just offering a quick fix that morning to get him back on his feet, like a road repair that he might make halfway through a race or something. This is a permanent cure, an immediate cure, starting a new life now with Jesus back in charge. So that when everyone else was treating Matthew with hatred, Jesus offers him hope. He invites him to have that new life, to begin living it, to turn away from sin, and have the slate wiped perfectly clean. And on hearing that kind of invitation, Matthew did the only wise thing should have done. He got up and he followed and he did it there and then. As I said, that's the reason Matthew is such a helpful guy to us this morning, that he's big and bold and obvious problem. He's on top of what the rest of us are like. Jesus called people like Matthew onto his team, but he's also called people like you and me, because that's where this meeting really matters. This is sin, it's actually a universal problem. Something all of us have got, just in most cases we're it's a bit less obvious because we're better at covering it up. And Matthew was one of those old examples. Someone so obviously self-centered and living entirely for himself, set on feathering his own nest, even if it meant lying, cheating, and all the rest. At that point, God was nowhere in his life. And Matthew was someone who really didn't do God. Not at all, in any meaningful way. No engagement going on between them, no conversation, no
why this is helpful. Because Matthew was in public, what most of us are like in private. Pretty self-centered most of the time. We do what pleases us, then rather than what please our Maker. And we do what the great habit, sort of covering up with a very external veneer of respectability and goodness, presenting ourselves to the world as good, nice people. But God would say to each of us today, have a little look inside. Have a dig around under that sort of top coat and see what's going on underneath. Think about how we are with God. Consider our thought level of engagement with Him. In a lot of cases, we'll be attached to nothing. See, we're very good at keeping it in, hiding it all away, but if we're honest, we're just as bad as Matthew. Just the kind of people that Jesus wants to call. Because it's not the healthy people that God's doing, but the sick, not the self-righteous, the sinners. And Matthew's life was totally changed that day. Self-centered Matthew became Jesus-centered Matthew. His life transformed. Meeting Jesus, seeing God in a form he could relate to and understand, and Jesus declared him forgiven and offered him hope in a world that only made him hatred. And if you want to see how Matthew's life has changed, well, read on, because Matthew has just thrown a party to celebrate his new life in Jesus and invited all his notorious skeleton friends around for dinner. And that's the second heading. Jesus offers a welcome that doesn't behold. As you can see, Matthew's life, he's changed sides now. He's gone from one side to the other. From the one called, he's now doing the calling. He's got on the phone to his mates. He said, look, I'm having dinner with Jesus and I want you to come. I want you to be part of it. He's now offering that to others. He met Jesus for himself. He wants others to meet him too. They're ready for dinner. Matthew hosts the party, guest number 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? So they are seeing a set of Jesus and his disciples with Matthew and his bunch of notorious friends. Everyone knew the cast list, Matthew's mates. They were all in the same game, all at the same bracket. And yet Jesus doesn't seem to have any problem sharing a meal with them. The only people with a problem are those looking in from outside, the Pharisees, those who took self-righteousness to a whole new level. You see that around them? Why is your teacher even tax collectors and sinners? In other words, Jesus, what on earth do you think you're doing meeting and eating with these low-lives? Why are you spending your time with bad people and sinful people when you could be spending time with me? Well, I don't know what it's like when your family and friends get together, but most of us already eat with people that we actually get on with, people that we like, people that we are perhaps related to. No one invites people they don't like around for dinner. Well, unless, of course, I suppose you're allowed to cook. And you want to give them an indigestion or something. But for the most part, it's the other way around, isn't it? The very act of Jesus sharing a table with tax collectors, it's not the Pharisees extremely hot under their self-righteous collars. Surely God would rather spend time with them. Nice people. Respectable people, rather than those sinful and bad ones. Here again, Jesus' response, a clear and resounding no. He's not here for his religious types. He's not the healthy, he needs the doctor about the sick. I'm not just for the righteous, but sinners. Those who know, they're not good enough. Jesus opens the door of welcome and he says to everyone, come on in. He doesn't withhold anything from them. It's what makes this kind of encounter so powerful, because all of us, we find ourselves somewhere in this consciousness that as we think about our own level of engagement with Jesus, how we relate to him. It's like one of those MOTs that I had at the doctor's, so that the bit of the Bible that helps us see ourselves as we really are. Perhaps we're feeling a little less well than we thought, whilst at the same time, here Jesus, Dr. Jesus offering the very cure that we need. Jesus as his central purpose. To pull sinful people away, to turn away from sin, and turn back to God, the subjects of his kingdom. And actually, you know, my friends, that's exactly what we've been about this morning as we've been gathering on this special day, that Edith's baptism. The promises and commitments from Adam and Seth, and the godparents, they were talking, weren't they, about turning away from sin and turning and having faith in Jesus. And the water of baptism, that's a sign that even Edith needs her sins forgiven before she can start that new life. What happens next, like with any baptism? Well, that's very much down to the parents and godparents. Our parents are new life now, and we're doing everything we can to help you with that. She grows up to learn about Jesus, both at home and here at church. So she comes to that decision to follow him for herself. But now for all of us, the stuff begins, doesn't it? With the self-diagnosis, paying a visit to Dr. Jesus and letting him give us the once over. Not see if we're bad or good, but help us see that we might have a sickness and that he might have a cure. That little cross that I attempted to put his forehead this morning, let's explain how God can do this. How God can offer forgiveness to sick sinners who respond to his call. The cross, it takes us to the end of Jesus' life, doesn't it? And to his death and his resurrection. And something else that Jesus said about himself, a bit later on in Matthew 6, chapter 20, and verse 28, Matthew reports these words for us. He says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Well, I'm sure you know what a ransom is. That's the lump of money that Christ paid to deliver someone from freedom. The cash was handed over to set someone free. So you see what Jesus is saying, what he did? He said he will give his life as a ransom for many. And on the cross, dying in that place, that was the price that set people free. And friends, this is what God wants for everyone here today. He wants it for me. He wants it for you. The invitation to come to him, to follow him, to sit with him and meet with him. Not to be in the crowd outside looking in and grumbling and complaining about the people that Jesus might be hanging about with. But right there, next to him, sat at the table, sat next to the one who can truly diagnose my heart, and at the same time offering the only cure that there is death in my place to pay for my sin. Here, my friends, is hope. Instead of hatred, a welcome for sickness. That is the history of hope. But maybe as I've been talking this morning, that you'd like to know a little bit more about these things, a bit more about this Jesus, about this faith, about how all of us can know freedom and forgiveness, if that's the case. I've got some of these little books out on the table at the back. It explains a little bit more about Jesus, the one near the orange cover on. It tells you why Jesus came, and who he was, and what it means to follow him today. We'd love to invite you back here to St. Thomas's to continue to explore these things further in the work and life of the Lord Jesus. Knowing that I've got a problem is the first step finding a cure and giving a well. Jesus said, "It is not the healthy you need a doctor, but the sick. Thank you.